The anomalies are conclusive proof that good episodes of Primeval exists in a podcast as real and solid as those we already know about. Welcome to Four Seasons and a Funeral, the podcast about shows that had four good seasons and also one other one that also aired. Today we're talking about Season 4, Episode 1 of the next evolution of science fiction, Primeval. I'm Charlie, and I'm joined by David Uwu and Nick.
I'm David Uwu.
And thankfully, I'm still just Nick.
First of all, you thought this was a good episode?
I enjoyed this episode.
What?
Whoa.
How did you
watch? What the fuck are you guys talking about?
This how did you watch this episode? How many pixels did you have?
Yeah, sorry.
I had full HD. What are you talking about?
Wait, were you watching this on like a phone, on like a TV?
I was watching it on my 4K TV.
What?
Insane. Charlie, I did that too. I watched this episode right about 12 hours ago now.
Did you watch it on a somewhat shitty 50-inch TV?
No, it was a good 50-inch TV.
did you get rid of the TV I sold you?
No, I was at my parents' place. So I was watching it on a good TV, and this is the first time that I've watched an episode of Primeval on TV since I think the first episode. I've watched every other episode on a phone, and oh boy, there were too many pixels.
Prime might have some bad shit then, because I've just been watching it through other totally legal.
You have Prime.
But they started injecting ads and I refused to pay more, so I've just stopped watching on Prime.
I have not gotten ads yet on Prime. I watched it on my computer, which has an ad blocker, so I don't see the ads.
But yeah, no, mine was in like full crystal clear 1080 HD.
That's what I mean. There were too many pixels.
You don't like seeing all of Connor's pores.
The less I see of Primeval, the more I like the show.
Exactly.
This was a good episode. I don't know what you guys are upset about.
David, turn around right now so you can see Echo.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, he's decided my jacket is the best thing ever.
He is attacking the jacket.
Oh, yeah. Audience, in case Eddie Echo bleeds through that's not David's cat, Nick and David have decided to bully me and are in the same location, and I'm all by myself.
And we got breakfast.
And they got breakfast.
It was delicious.
David paid for my breakfast, and it was fantastic.
Wow, really just mooching today, aren't you?
Oh, dude, it's awesome. I got a microphone from David. I get to record at his place, and I got breakfast. Life is great.
A cat is attacking his jacket, though.
When you say attacking, he is like huffing it like it's a catnip.
Like, did you put catnip on your jacket before you came?
He probably, not that I know of. He probably smells dog, and so he's trying to mark it with his scent over
honestly,
the dog.
Fair. I'll bring the jacket back and see what happens there.
Yeah.
Piss on the jacket, Echo. Piss on the jacket.
Echo, please. I don't want piss on the jacket.
Yeah. Echo still have his balls?
No. He's neutered.
Okay. Probably won't piss on the jacket, though.
Probably not going to piss on the which is for the best. But yeah, audience, I'm at David's place. It's great.
I'm assuming you just didn't want to drive all the way back to Guelph today.
So I am still going to have to drive back to Guelph. The problem was, all right, I'll give you the rundown and therefore the audience the rundown too. I had a Frisbee tournament yesterday in Toronto. So I was like, cool, I'm just going to head in the office on Friday. Then I'll drive into Toronto, have dinner with my parents, do the Frisbee tournament on the morning. And then I'll head back like Saturday afternoon, head back up to Guelph. It's going to be great. We learn that my girlfriend, her mom is selling her place, and they're doing showings in the house for the weekend. So my girlfriend was like, hey, can we take my mom's dog and bring them into your parents, and like their dog can hang out with your parents' dog, and they can play for the afternoon. I'm like, yeah, totally, that's completely fine. So she comes in, brings the dog in, and then is like, hey, also, by the way, my mom is like, there's gonna be a bunch of showings tomorrow too, and my mom wants me to hold on to the dog for the weekend. Can we just stay here? I'm like, okay, that's fine. I still need to do a podcast, so I'm gonna head back to Guelph in the morning and I'll do the podcast. And she's like, I'd really prefer if you didn't. Like, I'm gonna be just stuck with your parents for the whole day. I'm like, my parents are cool, but also fair. So then I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'll text David if I see if I could just go over to his place, because my parents are also in Toronto, and that worked out. So now I'm here. Now I'm here invading David's place until he has to leave, or until I have to leave.
Until someone has to leave.
Yes.
And this is how Nick moved in with David.
Yeah.
Again.
I would argue David moved in with me before.
Yes. I would agree to that.
That's mostly what I've been up to. I did a frisbee tournament yesterday, and our team went 3-1 and lost the important game.
Solid.
We went 3-0 in the round robins, made it to the finals, and then lost in the finals by 1 point.
Nice.
Which was the way you do it. That's okay.
What have you been up to?
Since last we recorded, immediately when we finished recording last time, I went and beat that Dark Souls 2 boss I was having difficulty for.
Let's go.
It took me an hour straight of attempts, but I eventually just figured out the pattern and killed him. And then I went to go finish the game, and I immediately first tried the final boss, which was 3 bosses in a row.
God damn.
Because of the way Dark Souls 2 works. And I was just like, oh man, this was so much easier than killing the king. Why was the king so difficult?
Time to do New Game Plus, right?
There's still the DLC.
And then New Game Plus, right?
No. And then Bloodborne.
David must move on. It's been so many years.
You have your own copy of Bloodborne, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh no, I gave you an extra copy of Watch Dogs.
Yes, Watch Dogs Legion, which I have not opened. I think it's still in the plastic wrap.
Still in the plastic wrap.
That's incredible. Wait, is this a? This is. I'm assuming on a console, right?
Yeah, you
didn't. This is a. This is a DVD or DVD. This is a PS4 copy of the original Watch Dogs.
Yeah, of the original Watch Dogs that Charlie had 2 copies of, so he gave me one.
Nice. I think I got another copy for like Christmas or something, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. I'll just buy something else and I'll hold on to this for whatever reason. And then David gets it. Yeah, nice. I am in like the final grinds for Yakuza, which is
nice.
Just a lot of money grinding. Luckily, money grinding is disgustingly easy. There's a dude called Mr. Shakedown, and if he beats you up, he takes all your money. But you can get an ability where you get like 1.5 times the money if you Mr. Shakedown. And you can buy like stun shotguns. So you go up, lose to him, kill him, go up, lose to him, kill him, and then you can become a trillion yen and have a trillion yen in not that much time.
Nice.
It's just kind of tedious.
Because you just gotta lose and then win. And then that's an interesting like mechanic they built in, though, to get just infinite money.
I don't think it was an intentional mechanic, because there's a couple weapons in the game that just absolutely shred him for no good reason.
Yeah.
So once you get those, he kind of becomes trivial. I think it's supposed to be more of a, you read his attacks and you fight and it's this prolonged thing instead of 2 minutes shooting him with an electric shotgun. So there's that.
Something about shooting a man for 2 straight minutes with an electric shotgun, just like...
It's upsetting. That happens in this episode of Primeval.
Yeah.
I will say, doing the enemy grinds is really fun, because you just get a normal shotgun, 5 guys show up, and you just unload and shoot them really quick over and over again.
Which is what should happen if you have 5 guys just like put up your dukes, fist fight sort of thing, and you just pull out a shotgun. That's what happens, right?
Yeah. But Nick, this is like each pellet on this shotgun is homing. I'll shoot the shotgun directly at one guy, and a guy 5 feet over to the right, I will see one pellet go over and hit and kill him.
Not okay. That's really not okay.
As long as I'm facing the general direction, it'll work.
That's very realistic. It's just randomly hitting a guy.
I've concerns about your shotgun now.
Hey, it's fine. Yakuza is a very serious series. There's no
Totally.
As they say in one of the Yakuza games, there's no time for goofing around in jokes in a story about the Yakuza. The character may or may not look directly into the virtual camera as he delivers that line.
Huh. Isn't there also the whole, like, isn't there like a trading card game with like hot girls or something? Like something weird like that?
There is
one,
a game.
There's a bug trading card game, but all the bug cards are just bikini women.
With, like, bug horns.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, a longhorn beetle is just this busty chick in a bikini with a hat on that kind of resembles a longhorn.
I mean, it comes from the fact that the Japanese will catch beetles and make them fight each other for fun.
Yeah.
Which is like, if you think about it, it's just why Pokemon exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
But the main character does find one of these cards and goes, no way this is a kid's game. That doesn't make any sense. And then a kid runs up and goes, oh, thanks, you found my card, mister. That's right. In the one I'm playing now, there is an underground Japanese cat fight club where it's you bet on scantily clad women to beat each other up in a kind of weird rock, paper, scissors mini game.
Nice.
Yeah. I made a lot of money on it, so you know, it's good. It's good times.
You know, fair enough.
All right. That's everyone.
Yeah.
I did see another play as well. I saw
How was that?
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Performed by the actors who did Merry and Pippin from Lord of the Rings as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. It is definitely... Okay, so if you don't like Shakespeare and you don't like plays, it is not the thing for you. It is definitely...
You don't like meta commentary on those things?
Yeah, because it's definitely like... That is a... It's a tragic comedy, tragedy or something... And it is incredibly just meta and also like existential because it is just Rosencrantz and Guildenstern going through kind of like a Waiting for Godot style thing where we get version of theirs through the play, but they're already dead and they're kind of reliving it in the afterlife. And they're talking to like a troupe of actors who are doing the like original Greek play that Shakespeare stole from to write Hamlet. Like, and they literally do the scene where like, and then this guy goes back to this king and shows him a letter, and oh, the letter says to kill them, and he stares at Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
have you seen the Gary Oldman and Timothy Roth movie version?
No, I haven't.
It's very good. They have shockingly good chemistry. That might be my favorite version, Stern.
It was a very good play. I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I don't think it's for everyone.
No.
Fair enough.
We had to watch the movie for English the same year we were doing Hamlet. My teacher was like, this will be fun. Try and puzzle this out. And then it turned on and we were all like, this is a meta analysis of Hamlet through the lens of background characters?
But it's also a meta-analysis of the nature of plays and death and what it is to live, I guess.
My English teacher was like, yeah, this is very weird. Enjoy.
It's very high concept, which makes sense for why it's been what it is.
Fair enough.
Yeah, highly recommend the movie if you enjoyed the play. The movie is...
I mean, it just made me want to go back to Stratford for like a Shakespeare. Like, I just want to go and see some more Shakespeare plays. I might do that this summer.
That'll be fun. I'd be down to potentially nerd. Go to a Stratford
theater
play.
Nerd.
What, you want to come and see some plays?
Maybe. Theater nerd. Never mind that my Spotify Sunday daily playlist was all musicals.
Nice.
Oh, I got tickets for Wicked when they come back. I'm so excited.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I've spent so much money on musical and play tickets. I don't want to think about it.
It's fine. You get the money to spend.
I do, but it's also just real bad living within subway distance of the main theaters. Because it's just like, ooh, I could go see that. Ooh, I could go see this.
Hey, as long as you're not spending it on gacha games.
Yeah.
This is a healthier outlet.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, God.
So how much money have you spent on the Risk of Rain gacha game?
None. I refuse to spend on that.
Is it a gacha game?
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No.
It
you
doesn't
pull for different
really...
survivors, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I just saw that there was like a Risk of Rain mobile game. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird.
It's Risk of Rain in terms of you have to charge teleporters to advanced stages and there's chests around with somewhat familiar items.
Okay, the
Other
gameplay,
than that, it is a top-down gacha run through the level, kill the enemies.
Gameplay-wise, they actually nailed it, I would say. Like, for playing on... Like, it is not a PC game. It's definitely a mobile game. Yeah. But for a mobile game, I feel like they've actually managed to capture the Risk of Rain feeling pretty well.
I definitely spent way too long in a stage and went, shit, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, like they definitely captured the game feel and converted that to mobile very well. But man, the gacha mechanics are so predatory.
Oh, no. Oh, Yeah, I'll stick away. I'll stay away from that.
Just go in and don't spend and just play nothing but Commando and you'll be fine.
Nice.
Really, like, no one else so far has out DPS Commando, and I see no reason to try and get someone else.
You might have to, because I noticed that the different survivors have elementals to them.
Yeah.
So I assume at one point you're going to hit a stage where, like, you need to use different elements of characters, because they'll have resistance or something, and that's probably how they're going to get you.
More like how I'm going to get you. Pew, pew, finger guns. Into the TV guide we go. Because we're talking about Primeval. TV guide reads, after a year in the Cretaceous period, Abby and Connor escape back to present day in the season 4 opener. They are greeted by a new ARC team and find out that their jobs may be in jeopardy after being away for so long. Thanks, TV guide, for summing up the last 5 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Can I just say,
Thanks for listening to Forsaf. This is...
That's my job. Fuck you, Charlie.
Can I just say I am really glad we watched those webisodes, because otherwise, man, they don't introduce the new characters literally at all. Like, there is not, like, they don't even go like, hey, I'm blah at any point. Like, it's crazy how little they introduce the new people.
So I watched this episode with my girlfriend, who has not watched an episode since the first episode of this TV show yesterday, at which point I had to be like, yeah, by the way, these people that they're showing, that it's like, oh, you should know who they are. This is the first time we're introduced to them from TV. Like, they're doing some insane shit here with these Matt and Jess characters.
You don't understand. There were 25 minutes of webisodes that had their backstories.
This is essential watching. Hopefully you can still find the website for them, right? Right.
I also really enjoy that we get the recap for like season 4. That's just like, oh yeah, by the way, these people died. It's just
they don't even say Sarah died this episode.
Yes,
it's just
yes,
implied.
They do.
Okay, so they do say
Becker,
that Sarah died.
Becker goes after Sarah died.
Oh, does he? I didn't catch that.
There's literally one mention to it.
I didn't catch that. I thought it would be a bigger deal. But
no, it's literally Becker being like, I almost quit after Sarah died. But anyways, moving on.
It's really good.
And then later, Abby goes, where's Sarah? And Becker kind of shrugs and gestures 6 feet underneath ground.
Oh, they're more upset about Danny not being there than Sarah, which is like,
that
man.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Did no one like Sarah?
That's my favorite part is Jess running in to tell Lester that Abby and Connor are back. And Lester going, yes, but what about Danny?
What about my
where's
favorite
my best
Danny?
Boy?
Where's the boy? The dude?
Oh.
That is, oh god. Yeah, somehow I guess Danny did hoodwink everyone in that show to love him, which is insane.
Even though Lester absolutely did not like Danny. There was like respect between them, but he was annoyed by him more often than not.
Yes, mutual respect and nothing else. Or there shouldn't have been anything else. Danny was just kind of the worst.
Yep. And hey, the new arc is operating just like the old arc, incompetently.
Immediately.
How it just lets out a fucking dinosaur immediately. Like, that's our introduction to her is, oh, I'm sorry, I fucked up. People are gonna die.
I don't understand. Why can't we have a single competent person on this show? Like,
but hey, isn't Matt competent? He puts the dinosaur in Lester's office. That's cool and competent, right?
Oh, hijinks. Ha 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 ha.
And then in the background, Becker just walks in and tranks it, which, like, did no one have a trank rifle? Because that thing worked in like 5 seconds.
So I'm also going to point out, whatever the fuck that trank rifle was, I don't think it was a rifle. I don't think it shot a dart. It looked like he was like going in and spraying pesticide on the dinosaur. Like, it very much looked like he was pressure washing a dinosaur with, like, I guess, anesthesia.
that's how it works, right?
That's horrific.
The doctor just grabs a sponge or like a little plant mister. It just kind of goes, ch-ch-ch, take a deep breath now.
No, but like, it wasn't even that. It was like I saw him like going in and it looked like they'd handed him a pressure washer. Like, it's just very confusing.
A pressure washer full of chlorine gas. Just
David, we're not trying to kill it. We're just you're looking for chloroform, not chlorine.
Nope, chlorine gas.
David knows what he said. He stands by it.
All dinosaurs should die. I mean, what?
But also, hey, if you're not watching a bad stream or on a mobile device, we're in full HD now, and the dinosaur models look good.
I was astounded that they still had, like, the budget to make things look good. I was fully expecting a huge downgrade in the visuals, especially the CGI, but it actually looks better.
Like, massive upgrade.
I'm shocked.
Like, that, the Dracorex, I guess, is what it's called. It looks good.
Yeah, it's, no, they're... I'm very curious to see if the budget just drops off. Like, you know how a lot of the time you get a lot of budget spent in episode one, and then episodes
fringe scenario where they spend a movie budget on the pilot and then nothing else for the rest of season one.
Jesus Christ, I can't believe how much money Fringe spent on a pilot back in that time. That is insane. Like, it was a fantastic pilot, but holy fuck, what a spend. Yeah, so I'm very curious to see. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they just spent a bunch of money on dinosaur models, and they've just got some cool dinosaur models they're going to bring out these in. That could be cool.
I mean, there are certainly way less extras, yeah. Like, in the arc, and then the arc is also way smaller. It's like two sets now.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that they're trying to pretend that the arc is bigger than it used to be, but also the arc is way smaller than it used to be.
The set design is nice, though. Like, it feels more interesting than the old arc did.
Yeah, I would say that. It has less. So here's what I'll say. The way that they've designed these new sets means that I expect that we're going to get significantly less interactions of like conflict within those sets.
Yeah.
Because like we had like the arc get taken hostage and like bunch of different sort of things like that happen where it's like, oh, look, like we have these big rooms so that you can sort of like see like opposing forces and things like that. And sure, in this episode, we get dinosaur trapped in Lester's office, but like just the general size of it really feels like it's going to be, this is home base and nothing else.
Well, there's the command office, and then like there's the room with all of, like, the screens and the like joysticks, right?
Yes.
But like that's all we've really seen. Like, they talk about the menagerie and they talk about an armory, but we don't see either of those rooms.
We see like a greenhouse as well.
Is that in the arc?
Yes. Oh, okay. It's definitely in the arc, that greenhouse, because fucking I don't even like Prospero CEO comes in and talks to Matt at like some point pretty early on. And that's definitely in the arc, and it's just like a greenhouse.
Okay, immediately. Do we think Prospero CEO is gonna be a bad guy?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think they're gonna try to double bluff it, where they're gonna act like he's a bad guy, but he's actually gonna be okay. Cause we're in the weird era of late 2000s where like Elon Musk was cool. Right.
Oh yeah.
So I think they're gonna be like, no, he's a cool tech CEO.
Also, no. They drop the most wild information on us at the end.
Cool. Charlie's also on board with this.
I had already tuned out by this when Nick told me about it during breakfast.
Connor,
I was like, wait,
says
what?
He invented the room temperature semiconductor.
And that's superconductor. That's why this man is evil, because if he invented the room temperature superconductor and then their world is still how it is. Like, that's not okay.
Hey,
he's very clearly
they
holding
have
onto that
super
patent.
Taser guns.
You're right. They do have the super taser guns. You want to know who has those? The company that he owns 50% of. That's who has it. He's hoarding the superconductors for himself.
He just has a room full of
he invented room temperature superconductors. The world went, holy shit, everything's about to go amazing. Like, everything's about to be amazing. He went, I patented this and only I can use it. No one else is allowed to. That's what we're gonna get, right?
Oh,
so it's gonna be great. This is exactly what we wanted. Oh god, what else even happens this
okay
episode?
I guess we should go. So we start with Abby and Connor in the past. Still, they've been living there, we learn, for a year now, and they've created sort of like a weird shelter. There's weird flirty vibes between them. Connor's also learned how to fight, apparently, in that year.
Calorie expenditure, sure, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a hard time finding food, it looks like.
Yeah, they're able to find some roots and things. Connor gets a fish.
Yeah, like, they don't seem malnourished at all, so, like, I feel like they probably are finding a reasonable amount of food, but they're camped right by the anomaly site. And we also see that Abby seems to have some wicked fucking PTSD and is, like, disassociating and having a real bad time while Connor's trying to be the optimist.
And then burns Helen's journal.
Yeah, just straight up burns Helen's journal, which is like, okay, I guess the writers were tired of that plot idea.
Yeah, just no Helen allowed now. We're in season four. We will have new villains. Helen got raptured, and that's it. So, yeah, like, we start this episode kind of, like, flipping back and forth between, like, getting, I guess, backstory for the new arc here.
Is it even backstory? It's kind of just, like, a regular day for them, right?
Yeah, that sort of seems to be it. Just a regular day, dinosaur in Lester's office. Like, normal things.
Sorry, just to even go back further, the beginning of this episode, Lester gives like a series recap.
Oh yeah, we get a, my name is Lester.
James Lester. But it's done from the perspective of a Lester before this episode airs. How does he know that Danny was the one who stopped Helen, who was trying to wipe out humanity? That information was all uncovered and acted upon in the future.
Don't worry about it. That's cool and normal. This is a James Lester from an alternate universe.
This is an observer, James Lester.
Yeah, James Lester is just an observer. There's your observer, David. It's just Lester.
He has a really good wig.
Also, he painted on some eyebrows. He's got a very good makeup.
Why didn't the observers just wear wigs and like fake things?
I think they were just
they're too smart for that, David.
Exactly. They're just comfortable in their identity. Oh, man.
I would have loved a Fringe episode where they, like, arrest a random dude at a scene of a crime, and then he takes off his wig. It's like, oh, fuck, you're an observer. What?
Well, I like the idea of, like, I don't even know what, like, just, like, they're, like, booking him for processing or something, and, like, at some point, like, they just, like, wipe away, like, an eyebrow. They're like, wait a second. What?
Who here isn't a fucking observer wearing a wig with drawn-on eyebrows?
They wipe off the fake tan he's put on.
Broyles, you're an observer?
Oh, no.
Broyles, this is not okay. This disguise is not okay.
Olivia, observer blacked out. Finally figured it out. I've been an observer all along.
I've been a blackface observer the whole time.
No, don't you see? In the future, we've erased racism. So this is okay. This is okay.
But Observer Broyles, you did the red lipstick that makes it look like a minstrel show. No, it's fine, I swear.
No, those come back. They're cool again.
This is cool in the future, we swear. Is all the rest of the observers are just slowly backing away from them?
Slowly blacking away.
Oh no!
I'm sorry, audience. The energy's off.
Everything's great. This is cool and normal. Echo has claimed. Echo has claimed my jacket as his own.
I had so many carbs for breakfast. I'm on a weird energy.
Oh, I had a fantastic waffle. It was delicious.
I had an avocado eggs Benedict with smoked salmon.
David's
this
breakfast
is why you
was
can't afford a down
bougier.
Payment is all the avocado.
You're right. David couldn't afford a down payment. He could just afford an apartment, an entire apartment.
I don't have a mortgage. I can buy as many avocados as I want.
But no, you're jacking up the avocado price, and now Nick can't afford anything.
Yes, the avocado pricing.
All right, what else even happens in this episode? Like, the first half of this episode is just, I think, basically catching everyone up.
It's like, try to give us an introduction to the new characters, but, like, they don't really give us an introduction to the new characters. Because, again, I don't know if I hadn't watched the webisodes, like, would I even know who the fuck these people are and what they're supposed to do?
I don't think so. Like, I think we would have had a way different feeling about this episode if we hadn't watched those webisodes. Like, because it just would have been like, yeah, congratulations. Welcome to these characters. We would have been like, who the fuck are these people? Like, just no introduction to them. But I guess it's fine. I don't know. I guess it's fine.
Yeah, especially with the Matt meeting the dude at the end of the episode, that is way weirder without having seen the webisodes.
I guess Matt's working for someone else? What?
Yeah. The dude's got a super rare plant that would not survive in the English climate.
Oh, also, we would have freaked the fuck out about the Ark being privately owned.
Yeah, that is just kind of dropped
that on us.
The dude's like, "Oh yeah, we're investing another $500 million, but we don't have any staff."
Just excuse me, that's not okay. They're not supposed to.
50% privately owned. The other that's such a weird fucking like. Who owns the other? Is the other 50% government owned still?
I think
like,
it's
what?
Still government owned. I think that's the point. Is they're like, yeah, we shouldn't like completely privatize this. Like, you know, the government still wants some of this, but I don't know. I don't know they did this. It was a weird choice
to introduce the new villain and to give an excuse as to why they can have nice things like magic.
Why they can have.
Yeah. Taser guns that aren't tasers, because that didn't tase Beckett when they shot him with it. It knocked him back.
No, like that was just like an energy rifle. Like I'm pretty sure they just have energy rifles. Because he's wearing like a bulletproof vest,
and he goes flying.
At one point in this episode, we get introduced to the new MacGuffin, which is
electronic like, muscles, like something
EMDs or something they call
yeah,
them.
Yeah, EDMs or something.
Oh yeah, you're right. They play bass music.
they're the dubstep EMDs. Gun. They're dubstep guns.
That is the Wubba Jack gun right there.
They are the electromuscular disruptors. Okay. Which the largest one is supposed to be able to take out a T-Rex.
Which
and then
would
they
happen
take
if
forever to pull it out of the box to use it against a Spinosaurus.
What would happen if they shot a human with one of those?
I think it kills them.
Well, no, but like, how does it kill them? Like, how far do they get sent backwards? I'm curious. Like, are we talking like superhero gets like thrown through like two walls sort of thing? I want to know, and I hope we find out at some point. I hope they shoot the Prospero CEO with the big gun at some point. That would be a fantastic end to this season. But yeah, we have the cool new weapons, and we've got all of our cool new technology, and the Ark seems to be better run, because now, as soon as an anomaly gets up, like, they've like, perfected the anomaly, like, detection stuff. I guess once you start to have, like, a full team that's, like, doing all of that, and it's not just the one guy, Connor or Cutter.
No, don't you see? This is obviously an endorsement of privatization of public utilities.
Look at how much more efficient the Ark is now. David, you've got it.
This is why we should privatize all the public utilities, of course, because they run better and more efficiently.
It would definitely be really funny if at the end of this, the Prospero CEO is actually like the real good guy at the end of this all along, because it's like, look, everyone, privatization, it's an amazing thing. And then also they bust a union.
I mean, given the fact that the show itself went from BBC to IT, like went to a private channel.
What was it
before? No, it started out on ITV.
Right?
Oh, did
it? It started out on ITV.
Yeah. BBC turned it down because it was too close to Doctor Who.
Yeah, so it went from ITV to something smaller than ITV.
To help shoulder the budget, because this season, I think, is still on ITV. Next season is purely on the...
That's going to be fun. We're going to get full, like, 40-minute webisodes next season. I'm sure that can only go well.
It was... Season 4 was done in co-production with UK TV, which is now owned by BBC. But that happened in 20.
Oh, that's
maybe BBC had stake in this.
I don't know.
It's very the parent is BBC Studios, but again, that was no founder was BBC Worldwide and Thames Television in 92. Then. So very weird. Regardless, but yeah, this is basically like Ghostbusters is the movie I've heard a bunch of times is the libertarian dream. Is a bunch of guys find a market opportunity, a market vacancy, create a position, a service to fill that market vacancy, and then the government steps in and fucks it all up because the government is incompetent. And it should be the joy of the people to create the services without government intervention or
I see.
Because as soon as the government tries to regulate the Ghostbusters, they unleash ghosts on the city. That is part of the climax of that film.
I hate it. Thanks.
that's so good. I'm so glad that we did that. Oh man. But yeah, no. In this one, the arc seems to be being run better, quote unquote. Don't worry about the dinosaurs and everything like that. That's cool and fine. And what like Aver or like Abby and Connor are like, yeah, they're just surviving. Abby's given up for sure. Connor is still has hope. They do eventually find Helen's device after having to move. Like they find like the like future like portal device in a raptor's nest because that raptor likes shiny.
Yeah, he's trying to get the girls, and the girls like the shiny.
What my question is how did that device end up in this time period? Because wasn't Helen
no,
Danny's?
Helen dropped it.
Oh, she Helen, dropped it. You're yes. right. You're right. You're right.
This
she
is what I was talking it. About during the recap, is Helen's like, there's more sites to visit to kill humans. But she couldn't get there because she already dropped her portal
you're
device.
Right. Yes. You're right.
The
I forgot about
is
that.
Still stuck in the Abby Connor timeline.
Like, they never needed to have the raptor kill Helen. They could have even more interesting if they kept both actors around, is have Danny and Helen have to kind of struggle, survive together to find a way back to the present. As a side storyline at the beginning.
But that would have involved paying both of those actors.
They're yes.
yeah, the goal is to just have them entirely disappear.
Or have Danny kill Helen.
Yes.
To help redeem Danny so that he actually did fucking something and not just watch Helen fail at her plan.
Well, no. What I want from that, David, is if we're going to have that, I want Helen to have a redemption arc. They get back. Helen appears to be a good guy, and then Danny turns the gun sideways and kills her in cold blood.
You killed my brother! I know you did!
If it wasn't for you, that anomaly wouldn't have opened and wouldn't have killed my brother. Hey, wait, why didn't they do that? That's a perfect... Wait, why didn't they do that plot thread? Why didn't Danny blame Helen for killing his brother?
Because... Helen's not the Helen didn't cause all of the portals, right?
He didn't have any proof about the other guy either.
He didn't.
Doesn't matter. You just got to kill him. You kill enough people, you're going to get the right guy eventually.
Eventually you find the right person. Oh man. Should we just head into the second half of this episode at this point when Abby and Connor make it back?
Yep. The anomaly opens up and dinosaurs come through, and so do Abby and Connor. Oh!
They're back. And it's been the same amount of time for all parties.
Yeah, it's been 12 months. Despite, due to some weird airing issues, apparently the season 3 box set was delayed to the point where season 4 had aired by the time the box set had been released.
Oh, interesting.
So you would watch season 4 episode 1 before you could get access to.
Right, because this is also before the age of streaming, so it's not like if you missed those episodes, you just missed them.
Yeah.
At which point you watched season 4 episode 1 and went, what the fuck happened? Like, can you imagine watching the first half of season 3?
I got that mixed up. It's even weirder. Due to the airing of the episode being a week later than planned because of Britain's Got Talent finale, the Series 3 DVD was released 4 days before the Season 3 finale aired.
Oh, no.
So if you pre-ordered the DVD, you had access to the Season 3 finale 4 days before it broadcasted.
Weird.
That's I feel like that's not okay.
I mean, yeah, it'd be a shame for those diehard Primeval fans back then to get the ending spoiled for them.
Yeah.
I'm sure all four of them were devastated.
How many of them do you think didn't pre-order the DVD and then went online to their favorite Primeval forum and someone spoiled the entire episode for them?
Do you think Primeval forums even existed? There is Absolutely. Not even a Reddit that exists
Absolutely.
Currently for Primeval.
A Primeval forum.
Yes, there is. There's a Primeval Reddit.
Is there?
Yeah. Surely.
There's gotta be.
No. What There's the a fuck? Primeval Plus subreddit. There's Primal Show, I guess. There was an old Primeval subreddit that got locked down, I think.
Okay.
wonder what they were saying in that one.
Yeah, it's a private community.
All right.
And then Primal's a different show.
Yes.
Yes. And then, annoyingly, there's also Justified City Primeval.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, no one knows Primeval exists.
I would like to point out that last night, while I was attempting to find Primeval on Amazon Prime Video for, like, a TV, I was typing in, like, the search bar for Primeval. I got through Prime V before it started giving me the suggestion. It was giving me so many things that had no, like, did not have the words Prime in them at all. And it was just like, you want this, trust me, you do not want Primeval.
Oh, wait, fuck, are we gonna watch Primeval New World?
No.
No?
No. I think that's the Canadian reboot.
It's the Canadian reboot of Primeval.
They made a Canadian reboot?
It takes place in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's not good.
It's only one season.
It's not good.
It's We're not watching it. 13 episodes.
Watch it on your own time.
I'm not going to do that, but maybe I'll make David watch it tonight.
David can tell me how it went.
We'll be playing Overwatch at one point. I'll be like, hey, David, toss on that Primeval New World shit and tell me what's going on.
Oh my god, Connor's in the show.
Wait, what?
Connor's in the first and final episode of the show.
Yo! They got Connor? That's huge.
Bunch of former Stargate actors as well, Charlie.
Yep, it's in Vancouver. It's gotta be a bunch of former Stargate actors.
Man, also, because as we move into the second half of this episode, do you guys like how they're trying to portray Connor as the cool guy this season? Like, we don't have
he's
that
got
all the
longer
time.
Hair and a fuller beard
and he can fight.
And he can fight, and like so this is skipping ahead a bit, but we also get the like weird scene of him waking up to like a new day, and going out, and we get the like weird like Connor in shadow shirtless like going out and like checking in on Abby on the patio.
Connor does not deserve this framing.
Connor has become the cool guy action hero consoling the girl. Like,
he does not deserve this energy.
This is what we wanted, right? Like, the only reason that I'm even slightly okay with this is one, Abby, as we learned from last season, my views on Abby dropped significantly because of just everything. The whole, like,
the show made me not like Abby.
Like, they really removed a bunch of redeeming qualities from Abby, and then also just like they at least kind of like soft rebooted like Connor between season one and season two, and Connor's been more okay since then.
Oh man, it's hilarious looking at the cast list for a Primeval and just seeing the number of episodes they've done. There are only three characters or three actors who are in every episode of Primeval.
And it's what? It's Connor, Abby, and Lester?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone else has less episodes associated because...
No way Lester's been in every episode.
Lester is credited for 36 episodes of Primeval, the same as Connor and Abby.
Yeah.
That's wild.
No,
there's episodes he's maybe... build in but doesn't actually appear,
maybe, but he's credited for all 36.
He's credited for all of them.
Helen's
and, like,
only
Lester's 20... the only other character that's made it since the start of the show.
Helen's the next best at 25 episodes, then Captain Becker at 23, and then Jenny Lewis at 19 episodes, Nick at 16, then we get the new team because there's 13 episodes in the last two seasons, so it's all of them. Steven also 13 episodes.
Yeah, Steven just got those first two seasons.
Yep. Sarah, 10 episodes. Danny Quinn, 9 episodes.
Oh, no.
Yep. Nice. We never see Danny Quinn again. Let's go. He's gone.
No, we see him again.
Wait, seriously?
Because he's not in episode 1 of season 3.
Yeah, but season 3 was 10 episodes.
Episode 1 or 3. Of season 3.
Oh no, we get one more
Danny
Quinn episode.
There's one more episode of Danny Quinn.
No. Okay, so even just a brief check on the wiki, Lester was not in season 2, episode 3. Neither was Helen, but they are both credited in the opening titles.
Interesting.
In the opening credits.
So, oh, credit only. Yeah, he has a couple credit only things.
that's still more okay because at least his character makes it.
Lester is the only constant in this show, as
Wait,
it should be.
Abby was the girl in Agent Cody Banks too?
Wait, what?
No. Oh my god, she was. Because that's the one where they go to Britain.
Oh, Agent Cody Banks 2?
Yeah.
Destination London? Oh my god, yeah. And a spirit. Holy shit.
Oh, that's weird.
Do we have to rewatch the Agent Cody Banks series now?
No, we don't.
I love looking at her IMDb known for. It's Seed of Chucky, Agent Cody Banks 2, S Club Seeing Double, and then Primeval.
Nice. Despite being a main character on Primeval, known for
despite
these other
appearing
things
in first. Every episode of Primeval.
That's a bad look for this TV show. It's like, we know you're gonna know her from these things, not from this thing. We know. Oh man. Alright. Anyways, second half of this episode, things get like sort of unhinged as well. As I described to David earlier, we get like a like Spinosaurus like dance party scene is I think the best way in the arena when they eventually get the Spinosaurus arena
with the fucking techno
with the techno going. It's not even techno, it's like they've got music playing. You got music and lights going for the Spinosaurus before Connor drops the device into the Spinosaurus and it disappears. An anomaly opens inside of the Spinosaurus, eating it up. Which is, oh god, that's such an unhinged thing. Like, where did that Spinosaurus go?
Did it don't go worry back? About it. It's in the menagerie.
I don't think it went to the menagerie. I'm gonna say that.
They killed it and skinned it and given it to
them. I really hope that they sent that Spinosaurus back to the early humans. Like those early proto-humans. Danny Quinn shows up and is like, shit, I gotta protect the humans from the Spinosaurus, and that's when we see him in the next episode. Is his entire goal now is just protect the early proto-humans from the anomalies.
When do you think we see Danny Quinn again? I looked this up so I know which episode, but when do you guys think we see Danny Quinn again?
Episode 6.
So there's 7 episodes this season, right, David?
Yeah. I'm going penultimate episode.
So it's either the next upcoming episode, season like episode 2, or it's episode 7. Those are my 2 guesses.
Interesting. All right. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Motherfucker.
I want to spoil it for you guys.
Why have us guess? Such
because
a dick
we'll find
move.
Out later. Now, Charlie, when I watch the episode and Danny Quinn's head pops up, I can either get
Danny's Quinn.
Danny's Quinn. Is that what he calls his dick?
David, are you suggesting that Quinn is an equivalent word for penis?
Just Danny's Quinn sounds like something untoed.
He goes up to women and he goes, "Hey baby, you want to see Danny's Quinn?" And they're like, right, "I'm right, sorry, right. Are so, you?"
No,
what does that mean? And he goes,
"Of my brain power."
He goes, "Oh, my last name is Quinn." He has to explain the joke to these women.
Vanessa Quinn, you.
Oh, you got this. I believe in you. Cool fringe cut. I like it.
You make me want to sin?
Sin? Or were you going for Zin there, David? Are you trying to pack some Zins?
Sin?
Oh man. All right. Anyways, yeah, like there's a Spinosaurus. Some of the people see it. I guess given that what we know of the webisodes, though, people just know that these anomalies exist and that there's phones. They do take, or that there's just dinosaurs occasionally.
Yeah, I was like,
this is a very Torchwood opening.
Are they trying to keep it secret still or not? Because like,
they do still take the phones.
There was a fucking like dinosaur in Parliament. Like, how do you keep that secret?
I feel like maybe it's not. It's less like, okay, we want to keep these things secret, and more of it's like, hey. When the public doesn't have to know about it, we should still like not tell the public, sort of thing. Like, I'm wondering if that's what this is. If we don't want people to know how frequently this is happening yet, because it's potentially a problem.
Okay, I can see that. The full privatization like tactic of like, yeah, it's a problem, but don't worry about it. You don't need to know any frequencies or any of the actual details. It's all good.
Don't worry. Our shareholders will like, we'll announce something to our shareholders like next year about like, you know, about how often we're doing things. It'll be fine. But yeah, like after that, like we get Abby and Connor, as the TV guide tells us, we have them struggling with the idea that they may not be a part of the team now. As they're being told, like, hey, you guys were amateurs. Like, Abby, you worked at a zoo before this, and Connor, you were a master's student, like you were like a graduate student to a now dead professor.
Yeah, to be fair, what other career options did these guys have available to them?
I assume Connor could go and finish his graduate studies, right? Oh dear. But yeah, no, like I don't know what else they're gonna get to do at this point, other than just continue to work here. I'd hope that they're gonna have like some sort of government payout for like, hey, we're sorry that you were trapped back in time for a year.
No, that's work hazard.
Oh, you're right. That is just work hazard.
That's in their contract.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, you would be eligible, but you willingly jumped into the portal? Sounds like gross negligence on your part.
That's a shame right there. Employment law is not on your side right now. Like, Also, I don't know if you noticed, but we have the right to, like, an independent arbitrator. Like, you can't take this to court. Like,
yeah, and in the agreement it says you can't sue us, so
yeah, like you waived the right to like take us to court. Oh boy, sorry. Here, we got you like $5,000. Get out.
Hey, but you get to use the company apartment.
You're right.
Do you think that's a company apartment, or do you think they're paying for it as well?
That's what what's his face? Evil guy says.
Oh yeah,
you could use the company apartment, but like. Is there just one?
Also, are they paying rent? Is this for free?
Yeah. Is this a safe house if you need to crash and you live outside the city?
No, this is just this guy's like, this is just like the like CEO, like one of his several just like random like hookup like locations. Like he just owns an apartment in a bunch of major cities and he's like, yeah. I'll also let my employees use them when I don't need them.
He calls it a company apartment. Really, it's where his mistress lives.
Yeah, it's like he tells his wife that he has a bunch of apartments in a bunch of cities so that, you know, he can, like, conduct business there. That's of course, the reason why he's got them. But, like, Abby and Connor go in, like, look in one of the side, like, tables and are just like, yee.
It's just full of sex toys.
But, yeah, that's, like... What else happens at the end of this episode, Charlie? I've forgotten at this point. Like they are eventually told like they can work, right? Or are they grappling with that?
It sounds like Lester wants to have them in a research position, but from what Matt says to the other dude, it sounds like it's up to them. They may just end up leaving the Ark entirely.
Yeah.
Hey, if they're privatizing it, can't they start their own company and also privatize their anomaly research?
Really, what Connor should be doing is going, I am the foremost expert of anomalies in the world. My consultancy fee is sky high.
My consultancy fee is one company apartment a week.
Yeah, I could make an anomaly detector in my bedroom with scraps, you fools. I will sell it to the highest bidder.
Connor was yelling about, like, oh... We didn't come back to do this for nothing. We came back to fight and win this war or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely some, like, about? War. There's, like, some war on dinosaur happening here.
Helen,
like,
is dead, my man.
To be fair, Connor doesn't know Helen's dead, right?
Yes.
Like, they were not apprised of the whole Helen situation. So as far as he's aware, like, they foiled Helen's plans, but maybe she's still around somewhere. To be fair, no one knows Helen's dead, right?
I think it's assumed that she was stopped because...
Yes. But no one knows she's dead. She could still be out there.
Okay, no, David. Danny Quinn follows Helen through an anomaly with, like, just... And we know what Danny Quinn's going to do, right? Like,
just because we know Danny Quinn is a cold-hearted killer doesn't mean he succeeded because he's also a member of the Ark and therefore incompetent.
You're right. I'm just saying, like, Danny Quinn goes through the anomaly after Helen. All the humans still exist. Like, we know what happened. Sure, you can pretend that it was a raptor that did it, but we all know what happened.
Was it a raptor or was it something else?
But yeah, I think, anyone have anything more we want to discuss from this episode? Or is that most of what we wanted from this episode?
So if a room temperature semiconductor existed, what do you think the first application of it they would be using it for? Like, commercial-wise? Computing power?
Oh, computing power, 100%.
Computing power is huge. There's just so much. From what I know, I think there's like a lot that you can do both in terms of like either transportation or
I just think
like energy,
material
well.
Science wise. Because also technically, with a room temperature semiconductor, that you could get a like quantum locking levitation effect reliably. Yeah.
Yes.
Which just quantum levitating trains.
Particle accelerators get a lot cheaper to produce, not like reasonably. But that would bring the price down a lot, that you would probably get some upgrades to some super colliders. Just everything would become so much better.
So, okay, from what Google's telling me, because I did want to go and check it out, it would have the potential to address global energy challenges, enhance computing speed, enable innovative memory storage devices, and create highly sensitive sensors, among a multitude of other possibilities. There's basically everything. Like, it would drastically improve what we could do technologically, and would likely bring around a revolution similar to like what we saw with like, I don't know, like the Industrial Revolution. Like, we'd have probably a similar sort of thing there of just like rapid advancement of technology, because we'd be able to do things that we just straight up couldn't do before.
Interesting.
I remember when the discussions of LK99 were coming out and people were like, yeah, it's like probably not true. There were also people that were like, if this is true, this is like, we can solve energy problems, and we can likely, like, there's a lot of discussion of like, yeah, we probably will never need like coal power plants again, for example. Like, you'll just straight up never need a power plant like that again.
Interesting. Do you guys think a room temperature semiconductor could even exist?
Optimism.
I don't
optimism.
Know enough about material science.
Like, physically, the physics, there's nothing saying physics-wise that it couldn't exist, right?
But there's also very little physics-wise saying that it could.
Yeah, I don't think that's a device in our lifetime we figure out.
Probably not. The real thing is like, hey, just take this shit to like space or like to the moon or something, where we already have things pretty cold. Like, just go to the dark side of the moon and you can do all the superconducting you want over there.
It's so easy. Just go to the moon.
Go to the dark side of the moon. Do all the superconducting you want over there.
I don't know outside of that. I would love to see that technology. I think it would be incredible, but also we'll see. There's always hope, right? But yeah, outside of room temperature semiconductors, what's our ratings for this episode then?
Oh fuck, right, we still have to rate this.
Charlie, I'm curious to hear yours first.
Okay, so for all like the weird kind of plot, this was just It was a good episode. I don't know what else to say. This is like a 3.5.
Astounding.
Huh. It was a good episode.
Okay.
I didn't feel depressed watching it.
I didn't feel depressed watching it.
I went, ooh, dinosaurs. Ooh, raptor fighting a Spinosaurus. That's neat.
We did have dinosaur on dinosaur violence. That did
the new
happen.
Set looks fun. The new guns, like, it feels... They're kind of steering into the ridiculousness. We should have had to wait this long for them to get magic guns.
You're not wrong on that front. The magic guns are pretty incredible.
The way the Spinosaurus is killed is neat, even though it's a gimmicky way to get rid of the anomaly device.
I would argue that the Spinosaurus isn't killed. I would argue that Spinosaurus is elsewhere now.
Maybe. I don't know. That seemed like kind of a
that did
a more
feel
catastrophic.
Like, yeah, that felt like a killing. Not over getting this to a safe
that if
place.
If you open a portal on someone, it kills them.
Yeah,
and then that portal locks itself and then destroys itself.
That feels like there's a crunched up Spinosaurus somewhere in the past.
Nah, David, that's just more oil right there.
Yes, sorry, yes, of course, you're right.
We have to dig directly underneath this arena.
Think of all the oil we just made.
Is the supervillain, is Prospero CEO going to just be after oil or like an equivalent thing, like some resource that he needs for his room temperature semiconductors?
Oh my god, the room temperature semiconductors are made of dinosaur.
The only way to use them is we need dinosaur DNA. It's the only way. That's why we have the menagerie, so I can harvest their bone marrow. It's like, aren't their bones hollow like birds? I need it.
I need their bones. Don't you see?
Nom 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 nom.
Why are you eating them? I thought you were making conductors.
It's also addictive. Nom,
no,
nom, nom, nom.
When you eat them and you poop out room temperature semiconductors. Don't you see? I made a device in my stomach.
I'm the only one who can shit out room temperature superconductors.
Me. You heard the saying shit gold? Well, what about shit technological advanced material science?
Oh, apparently the techno music that Abby plays is an S Club 7 song.
Yes.
Nice.
All right, Nick, your rating.
I'm going to consider this to be basically a new show from the last season. And with that in mind, 2.5.
Oh my god, the caveats.
With that in mind, we're resetting rankings here. And this is a 2.5. We'll know later whether that's true or not. Also, we'll see if next episode, if my brain has broken again. If Primeval has broken my brain again.
It probably has.
Just go back and rewatch the minefield episode and you'll be fine.
I don't know if I can do that to myself.
Okay. Rating wise, I would give this episode, I think also a 2.5. It was not as bad as
crazy.
It's not as bad as the previous episodes, but again, I still didn't have fun watching
it. You gave the season 3 finale a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh man, that yell was loud enough that my mic picked it up.
Echo is also losing his mind.
Oh yeah, no, I've been trying to get him to speak to the mic. I've been trying to get Echo to speak some truth over here. It has not happened so far. Oh man. Charlie, how many people watched this episode?
4.45 million. So okay. Only a slight drop from the season 3 averages of 4.9. And okay. It got a 7.8 on IMDb, so I'm right, you're wrong.
I don't think that's true.
I don't agree with that statement.
Yeah, that does not seem right at all.
Looking at the ratings, this and the season 7 or season 4 episode 7 are the two highest rated episodes of the season. Everything Uh-oh. Else falls in between.
Oh Uh-oh. No.
This is going to be fine.
We'll see.
I'm so excited for season 4 to also be bad and for us to have to change our name to 3SAF.
3SAF.
Hey, I'm just going to change the intro to say 4 seasons and one also and one other one.
3SAF sounds so much worse than 4SAF.
We are 2SAF. We ran out of shows. And Nick refuses to rewatch The Magicians.
I'll watch The Magicians. You'll just be really sad, Charlie. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Like
it's just the gif of Danny over and over again.
Like The Magicians was decent television, just it like hurt. It actually just hurt to watch that show. So I'm just going to keep giving you that warning. And if you keep saying it, eventually I'll be like, okay, it's happening. You asked for this. But hey, on that note, I think that's all we need to be saying for this episode. So audience, thank you so much again for listening to this cursed episode. Hey, Editor David, because I know the audience isn't listening at this point, thanks for editing this out. I'm sorry for all the echoing that's going to be happening in this. Thank you. And audience, if you are still here and you enjoyed this echo, make sure to leave us a like on whatever your podcatching service of choice is, whether that's Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever the fuck you are, or on Podbean, which is our home. Go Podbean. We love it. If you really enjoyed this episode and you've decided interaction is important, You want to hear more echoey podcasts, so you want to let us know about that, send us a tweet on Zitter.
On what?
Zitter X.
Excuse me?
Oh, no, wait. What's...
The X makes an SH sound.
Oh, it makes... Okay, on Shitter. there you go. At Forsaf, F-O-U-R-S-A-A-F. Or if you've decided for some reason, well, actually, no, it's because you're not on that website, but you still want to interact with us and let us know how important echoey podcasts are. Send us an email. You've got one of those. Forsaf, F-O-U-R-S-A-A-F @gmail.com. We'll read it out live on the podcast. Don't think we won't. Have a good week. Outro.
Our intro and outro music is Dream One by Magenta 6. Licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.